Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We're beginning with prayer in the communion class. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for all the wonderful things you're doing in our lives and blessing us. Help us be a part in this end time revival. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, last week we talked about how Saul and Silas ended up going to Barnabas and Saul was commissioned, but Paul and Silas ended up going to Macedonia. And after they were commissioned by the Holy Spirit in chapter 13, a lot of things happened. And I skipped a lot of good information. But when they were always prepared because they spent time with the Lord in communion. And they followed God. They did a wonderful job. And they saw a lot of miracles. And this week I was studying Jeremiah chapter 22. And I heard something that caught my attention. Jeremiah 22 and verse 21. Here it is. The Lord is talking Jeremiah 22, verse 21.
21.
Mm-hmm. And he was talking concerning Jehoiakim, son of Josiah. Down in verse 21, he said, I spake unto thee in thy prosperity, but thou saidest, I will not hear. And this has been thy manner from thy youth, that thou obeyest not my voice. And when he said, I spake to thee in thy prosperity, every part of our life has its own stage. And in following the Lord, it's important to commune with him for every stage that you're entering into. Because if the enemy can change your focus, he can change everything that follows. And the easiest way to follow God is to fill your heart with his word and walk in love. Love his word. And that's where we learn to trust the Lord, by operating by faith. We'll have good experiences with him. And then we'll trust him the next time. And every time he got ready for me to do something, that was always training, and that training is communion. I would train. He would help me train. He would help me to be prepared for the next phase of ministry or the next stage of ministry. Every time he gives us something to do, he's going. It's for a greater purpose, not just what you're doing at the present, but that's going to be a platform for the next step. Well, the first things that the Lord taught. He got it. He said in verse 1 of chapter 13, he said, verse 1, he said, now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets, teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius and of Cyrene, and Manion, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. So they were commissioned, Barnabas and Saul, which is later called Paul. And they went, and they went different places. So verse 4 says, so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed to Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And what the first places that they went, this was their platform. They had everything in the kingdom of God must be merited. They are sowing and reaping. And everything has its own sowing stage. Well, that's where prosperity comes from. Prosperity comes from sowing. So the first works that they did that puts spiritual wealth on their life against the next thing that they would have to do. And every time they went and did something by the Holy Spirit, the enemy was always there to meet them, to give them a challenge. And they were victorious because they trained. When he speaks to us in different stages, I've seen a lot of ministers, they do well in the early stages. They do the groundwork. But when the church starts prospering, that's another dynamic. And the Lord will have to prepare you for it so that you'll see him and not the people. So you'll see him and not the finances. So you'll see him and nothing else. And then when it's like that, the communion lives. When the communion lives, you can always do whatever's necessary. And when this is out of place, other things happen that shouldn't happen. I explained to my son yesterday, I said, if you were a pastor and you were faithful, and then a lot of people came, they bring their problems with them. Some will be younger, some will be older. If you were in the Lord's presence, you can help them better. But what happens is when people try to help them out of their own mind, they're not prepared. And then there's problems arise. And he could see how things could really go south or different. And it can become such a burden, the ministry can become a burden. Or as we watch him, it's easy. It's a cakewalk. Because he'll give us the wisdom we need to do whatever's necessary. And then the anointing, by the anointing, you have God's ability to do it. But for the anointing to work, you have to be in faith. If you're not in faith, you may not use it, but it's there. But it's activated by our faith. So we'll spend some time in this, in Acts, until the Lord gives something else. But when he told Jehoiakim, when I spoke to you in your prosperity, he wouldn't listen. That was another stage. But that was his pattern anyway. He didn't listen to God anyway. But what jumped out to me was in different stages of life, you need different aspects of God's wisdom. And when that's in place, when communion is in place, everything can follow in place. And they had a lot of chances to quit, but they wouldn't quit because they had been with the Lord. They saw miracles again and again, miracles in jail, miracles out of jail. They did a lot of wisdom. And anybody can do this. Any child of God can do this if they want to. Whatever challenge the enemy sends against us, we can go. If we watch the Lord, we can walk on water. We can move that mountain. We can do whatever needs to be done. Because that's where our strength is.
The Lord doesn't lead us away from the storms. Mm-hmm. He provides a way through the storm.
Yeah, and he'll be right there with you.
they ran into a lot of storms. Mm-hmm. You know, they went through them.
Yeah. And when things happen that's a great emergency to you, you know that the Lord is there because you trust him. And you trust him. You know that he was there last time, so you trust him this time. Trust is based on what happened in the past. But you access your trust by faith. And that's what they did. That was their pattern. Paul wrote about a pattern of good works when he was writing to Timothy. And that was their pattern. They continually followed God through all the stages of ministry. And I told my son how that the Lord would have me do something, and I would do it, and nothing happened to me on my end. I mean, I couldn't see a difference. And then time would happen, and then he'd give me something else to do. And I was like, Lord, what are you doing? I wanted to know, but he would be silent, and he would give me, and I knew every phase was of God. But then when the latter things happened, I saw how everything fit together like a hand in a glove. And that's how following God, people have missed out on so much. The Lord will lead you to do things to cause spiritual wealth that you're going to need. And the spiritual wealth, when he explained that to me, I'm going to stop here. When he explained it, he prepared you the spiritual wealth has to be there for him to bless you. You have to merit it. It's not just given. You have to merit it. And you merit it by obeying him. But then you have to use it where it's needed. But spiritual wealth is not limited to just money. It can be wisdom. If you sow knowledge and wisdom, you'll get it when you need it for the next phase. Time. It can be health, wealth, miracles. All the things that you sow, you can reap more for the next phase of God's plan for your life. And we'll see that happen again and again. And God don't run out. And everything, you know, I had this kind of revelation, and I saw people live without it. And I felt like Lot, you know, how it vexed the spirit. I longed for people to follow God and do the same things that Paul was doing. But most people would go their way, and it wouldn't happen. A lot of good things didn't happen, but a lot of good things could have happened. And that's the power of communion. All right.
Now that scripture, what you were just talking about, you know, I was thinking, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Mm-hmm. Understand.
Yeah.
You know, I get the thinking too much.
Yeah. It's so much easier. You don't have to bother your brain about what to do. You just do what. I don't make plans. I just plan to do what God says. Now, when he gives me instruction, that's my plan. I go with it. So much easier and so much better. And when the Lord tells me why he's doing it, wow. And then you have to believe him. You have to be in faith about whatever he got you to do. Okay, 1 Corinthians 11. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." A great part of communion is remembrance. There are so many distractions, and when you remember him, you do what he did, and what he did always works. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me." He used remembrance twice. And as we remember him, as we look to him, he'll be bigger than our situations in our eyes. And then we receive the wisdom and we do it by faith. And that's how we win, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
Amen.
It's coming from your heart. You're doing it on purpose. You're doing it with purpose and on purpose and in agreement. And that's the power of communion. The Lord, I thank you for your word. I pray that you'll bless every speaker today, every man and woman of God to bring your word. I pray that you'll be with Pastor today as he goes forth. And Lord, I thank you for the time. Every day is a gift. Help us to do all that's in your heart. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Yeah.